Welcome to Torah Life Ministries, teaching about the instruction of our Creator and putting His Word into action, from suffering well to living a blessed life, looking forward to the hope and future that awaits true believers of the faith. Welcome to the show and your host, Paul Neeson.
The talk I'm about to give is hopefully going to answer many questions that people have often about scriptures. Questions I often had about scripture. When we're trying to share the gospel with someone and they come back with a doubt about scripture, how do we reply? We first have to know ourselves what the answers truly are. Sometimes we don't need to know. We got to accept that we just don't know. But these are questions we're going to discuss that many people don't speak about or want to touch unless they're trying to disprove the Bible as being a holy set-apart book. So we're going to touch on some questions today about why our Creator commanded Israel to destroy entire populations, including women and children. And we can look at the times back then and think about the times today and question the authenticity of the scriptures and who our Creator is and who Yeshua is. We're going to discuss this and talk about this, because the Bible gives clear answers and He also hides certain things until we're ready to see those. So we're going to start with the question, who is God? That's the question we're going to start with. As we think about who God is, we have to understand His character. And then a question comes to us, is the original God of the Old Testament the same God in Yeshua that we see in the New Testament? And we can only answer this when we look at the character of our wonderful Creator, as we see in Scripture. In Deuteronomy 32, verses 3 and 4, "For I will proclaim Yahweh's name, ascribe greatness to our God, a rock. His work is perfect, for all His ways are just, a God of faithfulness who does no wrong, just and is right is He." So the key points about the character of our Creator is God's work is perfect, God's ways are just, and He does no wrong. So as we begin to look at His character, not merely our emotional reaction to different passages, let's look at Scripture and learn more about the character of God before we just look at His command to destroy all the nations around, even if women and children were part of that. Let's look at the character of our Creator and think about this. We'll start in Genesis 18:25. Abraham asked the question, "Shouldn't the judge of all the earth do right?" Yes. Yes. It's okay for someone to ask, how could a loving God do this? You know, this is a normal question. It's something I questioned for a long time. But let's examine the scriptures to get our answer. Why did God command the Canaanites to be destroyed? In Deuteronomy 20, verses 16 to 18, we see the scripture that says, "God commanded Israel concerning Canaanite nations, you shall save alive nothing that breathes." Obviously, this is a passage that is difficult to understand and comprehend. But the scriptures say it. And the question is why? Why would a loving God do that? Why would a God who gives us life take the life? Does our wonderful Creator Yahweh give us a reason why? And it says in the rest of the verse, "that they not teach you to do after all their abominations." This wasn't presented as Israel wanted somebody else's land. God permitted murder. It was presented as divine judgment against wickedness. We have to comprehend and not pick and choose scripture. We have to understand the stories that are taking place. We weren't there at that time. We didn't know all the politics behind these different things. Does that justify people being killed? Does that justify people dying? Well, let's continue on this and ask, what were the Canaanites doing? Deuteronomy 12:31 says, "For they even burned their sons and their daughters in the fire to their gods." Child sacrifice. Leviticus 18 describes the practices associated with the nations Yahweh was driving out. It says in 18:24-25 of Leviticus, "The nations which I cast out before you were defiled. The land was defiled. Therefore I punished its iniquity." The important word there is punished. Yahweh presents the conquest as judgment. And remember, he didn't immediately destroy them. It was hundreds of years before the Israelites came into the land. They knew that he was coming, and only one repented, Rahab, and she was spared, but the rest did not. Extremely important, Genesis 15:13-16, Yahweh tells Abraham Israel would spend generations outside the land. Why wasn't Yahweh giving Abraham the land immediately? Have you ever thought of that? Think about it. He told Abraham, "You're going to have these nations, but not yet. Not yet." He waited for generations before the judgment. He wasn't waiting to destroy people. He delayed the judgment to give them an opportunity to repent. In 2 Peter 3, verse 9, "But is patient with us, not wishing that anyone should perish, but that all shall come to repentance." That's what it says in the scriptures. He takes no pleasure in the death of wicked people. He only wants them to change from their wicked ways so they will live. That's what it says in Ezekiel. So we have the original covenant saying that our Creator takes no pleasure in the death of wicked people. He only wants them changed from his wicked ways so he will live. And then we have in a renewed covenant in 2 Peter 3:9 talking about Yeshua, "But he is patient with us, not wishing that anyone should perish, but that all should come to repentance." And now you ask yourself, same scriptures, is this the same God? You think about that one. Now, when people bring up the scriptures of God commanding the nations being killed, it really comes down to the children, often. What about the children? All children are innocent. So why would a loving God not only command everyone to be destroyed, but the children? So this is a tough one to understand and a tough one to get. And an obvious reason how the enemy will twist scripture to destroy the character of Yahweh. Deuteronomy 24:16 says, "The fathers shall not be put to death for the children, neither shall the children be put to death for their fathers. Every man shall be put to death for his own sin." So we have to understand, physical death, it doesn't equal eternal condemnation. So according to the scriptures, we need to comprehend that. When we don't know from scripture the eternal destination of every child who died during these judgments. But we do know Genesis 18:25 says, "Shouldn't a judge of all in the earth do right?" Whatever, according to the character of scripture, is going to happen in the future, we are told in scripture that his final judgment is just, perfectly just. He, our Creator, has authority over all life, as we see in the book of Job, where it says 1:21, "Yahweh give and Yahweh has taken. Blessed is the name of Yahweh." He creates life. He sustains life. He has the authority over life. And he knows every person's beginning and end. He's the one that formed us in the womb. He's the one that knows everything about us and all the questions and everything he knows. His authority does not equal our authority. A human being murdering someone is not equivalent to God executing judgment. Yahweh is the creator and the judge. And when we do not look at him as the awesome creator of everything and everyone, we start to doubt and question him. The real problem is when we question him. We can question what he does and why he does it, but instead of saying you would have did it different or that was wrong, it's not a good thing to call our creator wrong. We might not know all the answers. That doesn't mean it was wrong or it's wrong. You know, and it wasn't just a particular people that was judged in the nations around them. He judges everyone equally. He judged Israel just as equal. And you know, he didn't just hate the Canaanites and he didn't just favor Israel. The same wickedness when Israel practiced it that the Canaanites were practicing, he judged them as well. In 2 Kings 17:17 to 18, it says, Israel sacrificed children, practiced divination, and practiced evil. And the result, therefore Yahweh was very angry with Israel and removed them out of his sight. His standard wasn't Israel's good and everyone else's bad. It was wickedness brings judgment. And that's what we must remember. So what have we established so far? We've established this loving God was very patient with very wicked people. And we're not talking like patient like 10 minutes. We're talking about hundreds of years in patience. They all knew that he was coming into the promised land. They all had time to repent, but only one did, and that was Rahab, who lived in Jericho, a Canaanite. Yet she turned towards the Elohim of Israel. Joshua 6:25 says it, but Rahab, the prostitute, her father's household, and all that she had, Joshua saved alive. If our creator simply wanted to kill all the Canaanites, they would have included her. But she was spared. Why? Because she repented from her unrighteousness and her living with the nations and following their ways. And then she became part of the genealogy leading to Yeshua. So we have to understand the concept, and Yeshua perfectly gives this as well, as we'll look at, that judgment and mercy go together. So people often, or some belief systems out there today, they try to separate the Elohim, Yahweh of the Old Testament, with Yeshua. And they start calling the Old Testament a mean and evil and wicked God who just killed people. But as we look at the character of our Creator and we see what Scripture says about him in Exodus 34 verses 6 and 7, Yahweh, a merciful and gracious Elohim, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness and truth, keeping loving kindness for thousands, forgiving iniquity and disobedience and sin. That's the original covenant. We have an Elohim, a God, a creator who is merciful, gracious, slow to anger, loving, faithful, and forgiving. But the passage also says he does not ignore guilt. He is both merciful and just. He's not just some mean, angry God like some people say, and Yeshua is this nice, loving person. That's completely inconsistent with Scripture. Yeshua says in John 10:30, I and the Father are one. John 14, verse 9 says, he who sent me has seen the Father. You understand, Yeshua didn't just come to protect us from an angry, unloving Father. He reveals who the Father is. And he also warned us about judgment. In Matthew 10:28, He says, don't be afraid of those who kill the body. Rather, fear him who is able to destroy both the soul and the body in the Gehenna. That's Yeshua speaking. Matthew 25:31-33 says, Yeshua says, the Son of Man will gather the nations and separate them. You have the righteous and the unrighteous. Yeshua says again in Matthew 25:46, these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into the cloud of life. You understand, the renewed covenant contains judgment as well as the original covenant. And Yeshua is returning as a judge in Revelation 19:11. He who sat on it is called faithful and true. In righteousness he judges and makes war. Who? Yeshua, the salvation of Yahweh. That's his name. That's who he is. The same Yeshua who loved his enemies, healed the sick, and touched lepers, forgave sinners, wept with grieving people, died for sinners, will also judge the world. So the purpose of this is for you to understand that love does not eliminate justice. Our Creator is a loving Elohim, but he's also just. We think about this and have to understand what happened on the cross explained Yahweh's character perfectly in John 3:16. For Yahweh said he so loved the world that he gave his only son. Two things. Sin is very serious, and Yahweh loves us very deeply. He doesn't say, I love you, therefore sin doesn't matter. Neither does he say, you sin, therefore I don't care about you. What we see at the cross is justice and mercy meeting together. That's what we see. We can't separate the old from the new because it's not two books. It's one book, one story. We could say the original and the renewed. But when we question the character of our Creator and we question the acts that he did without considering all the circumstances, the patience and the love to wait hundreds of years before he would let justice actually take place. Then you think about Yeshua, who had the opportunity to raise people from the dead. Why didn't he, if he was so loving? Why didn't he use that power to raise people from the dead? Why did he allow people to die in the first place? We see he clearly possessed the power in Mark 5:41-42. He said, girl, I tell you, get up. And she got up. In Luke 7:14-15, young man, I tell you to arise. He got up. Lazarus 11:43 of John, Lazarus, come out. So why not everyone, if he's so loving and he has this opportunity to do this? Why not every child, every grieving mother's son, every father? Why not all? Remember, Yeshua's miracles were signs. John 20:30-31 says, therefore Yeshua did many other signs. But these are written that you may believe that Yeshua is the Messiah, the Son of God. Signs point to something greater. Healing demonstrated. Yeshua has authority over all disease. Casting out demons demonstrated. Yeshua has authority over all spirits. Claiming the storm or calming the storm to diminish, he has power over creation. Raising Lazarus demonstrated that Yeshua has the authority over death. Remember, another thing, Lazarus, even though he rose, he eventually died again. He wasn't given a final resurrection and a glorified body. He was restored to moral life. The same with all the other instances where Yeshua rose somebody from the dead. If Yeshua rose every dead person, physical death would have been postponed. Yeshua came to accomplish something much bigger. to defeat death. John 11:25 said, I am the resurrection and life. He who believes in me will still live, even if he dies. He doesn't just come and say, I can resurrect someone. He says, I am the resurrection. And we see this preview with Lazarus. Something much greater is coming. Yeshua will eventually raise the dead. John 5:28-29. Don't marvel at this, for the hour comes in which all that are in the tombs will hear his voice and will come out. That right there answers the question, why didn't Yeshua raise everyone? The Bible says there is a future resurrection. All those tombs will hear his voice. Yeshua, salvation plus judgment. And then we bring this all together and we say, why does God still allow death today? Why? We shouldn't pretend that we know everything that our Creator allows or doesn't allow in these tragedies and things that happen. It's easy to question, well, where was God in this situation, or why did he allow this to happen? And sometimes the honest answer is, and this is where I've come to the conclusion, some things I just don't know. I don't know why Yahweh allowed some things that don't make sense to me and don't make sense to many people of this world. But Scripture gives us a larger picture. Romans 8:22 says, for we know that the whole creation groans and travels in pain together until now. We live in a world affected by sin, suffering, disease, death, human evil, and brokenness. Simply, we live in a fallen world. Everything that's happening right now doesn't mean, oh, it's only going to be good. It says in the Scriptures what is taking place was expected. But it's overcoming the everlasting life, the everlasting death that our Creator gives us. It says in 1 Corinthians 15:25-26, the last enemy that will be abolished is death. Notice death equals the enemy. We don't need to pretend death is good. Yahweh's ultimate plan is to destroy death. And his final answer that he gives us in Revelation 21 verses 3 and 4, he will wipe away them from every tear from their eyes. Death will no more be, neither will there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. He says in his Scripture, know the plans I have for you, they are for good and not disaster, to give you a future and give you a hope. No death, no mourning, no crying, no pain. We see that and we have to understand. Yeshua understands suffering. Yahweh said that he wants to heal us and he wants no death to take place. And Yeshua experienced with this hunger and grief and pain and injustice and death as well. Israel in 53 verse 3 says he will be despised and rejected by man, a man of suffering. Understand that our Creator entered human suffering himself. Yeshua actually cried tears from his eyes. He wept, as it says in the Scriptures. Why is that important? To understand that our Creator, through Yeshua, isn't indifferent towards our pain. He sees suffering and grief, and he cares for us, and he demonstrates it. Death will not have the final word. So now when we think about people that say it's a different God, we understand it's the same. From Genesis to Revelation, merciful, loving, forgiven, patient, holy, just, and a judge. Yeshua, merciful, loving, forgiven, patient, holy, just, and a judge. There are not two gods, one God. He didn't change his personalities between the Scriptures and the Old Covenant and the Renewed Covenant. 10 answers to remember. Number 1, God is the Creator and Giver of life and possesses authority over life that humans don't possess. The Canaanite conquest is presented as divine judgment, not random violence. Yahweh warned generations before bringing judgment. The question about children is difficult, and we shouldn't claim to know their eternal destiny, which Scripture doesn't tell us. Physical death isn't automatically eternal condemnation. Yahweh judged Israel when Israel practiced the same wickedness. The Old Testament contains tremendous mercy. The New Testament contains serious judgment. Yeshua's rising of the dead demonstrated his authority over death. It wasn't yet the final resurrection. Yeshua ultimately will raise the dead and destroy death itself. If someone says, "How can you worship a God who commanded death?" I tell them I don't pretend every difficult Bible passage is easy to understand. But I know what the Bible says about my Creator: perfectly loving, perfectly holy, perfectly just, and perfectly merciful. And we see all of that in Yahshua. The same Yahshua who wept at Lazarus' grave will judge the world. He also gave his life for sinners. So it's not about the mean God in the Old Testament and a loving Yeshua in the New Testament. One God, love and just, merciful and holiness, and patient and judgment. And ultimately, resurrection, restoration, and the destruction of death. Hallelujah. I hope this helps answer many of the questions you might have about difficult scriptures that we often hear. Shalom, shalom, thank you. Yes, it's not easy to understand it all. We need to pray and ask for answers, but do not question the character of our Creator. I know this was a difficult subject, and this is a common question you might receive about how to deal with these situations. But just continue to remember the character of our wonderful Messiah and pray before answering these questions. If you have questions for me, or if you'd like to fellowship with us, you can do so on our YouTube channel, Torah Life Ministries. Every Friday night, we have live fellowship, and we also answer questions under the videos as well. And you can see this video there. Thank you, and have a blessed day.
You've been listening to the Torah Life Ministries with your host, Paul Neeson. If you would like to learn more, please visit TorahLifeMinistries.org or call 917-407-2270. This program is made possible by the generous support of listeners like you. To donate, visit the website at TorahLifeMinistries.org or send your gift to P.O. Box 5503, Lake Worth, Florida, 33466. Thank you for your prayers and support.
Hi there, this is John Nelson with FamiliesRecover.org. We offer hope and support for families being torn apart by addiction, enabling healthy decision-making that leads to a productive and meaningful lives. You can reach us at 772-285-5828.
The views and opinions of programmers heard on WCNO are the responsibility of the participants and producers of the program and may not reflect the views and opinions of the staff or management of WCNO.